Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 3 of our study of Esther. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Esther 9, 29 through 32. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Before we get started, I want to encourage you to consider leading a small group using the 10-Week Bible Study. We've come up with some great books and resources to help make that happen. So head over to 10weekbible.com today to see everything that we have available. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With Alice, jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Esther 9, starting in verse 29. So Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter concerning Purim. The first letter, of course, is the one going out saying, hey, you can attack the people, you can defend yourself. That's the first letter we're referencing here. In case that's a little confusing, there weren't two letters about Purim. There was the first letter saying, defend yourself, from Mordecai. This is the second letter from Mordecai, verse 30. And Mordecai sent letters to all of the Jews in the 127 provinces of Xerxes' kingdom, words of goodwill and assurance, to establish these days of Purim at their designated times as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had decreed for them and as they had established for themselves and their descendants in regard to their times of fasting and lamentation. Esther's decree confirmed these regulations about Purim and was written down in the records. So here we say, again, we're saying this is a big deal. This is a really, really big deal. And I say that because as maybe Protestant or just Gentile Christians, it's very easy because we don't celebrate. Most Gentile Christians don't celebrate the Jewish feasts and fasts and all of the different things that they do as commanded in the Old Testament. We don't do those things. It's not part of Gentile Christianity. Now, a lot of Messianic Jewish Christians, they do celebrate those things, but most Gentile Christians do not. And so it can be a bit foreign to really understand just how important those feasts are. And to not to put too fine a point on it, but it's very clear in the prophetic scriptures looking forward to the end times and the millennial reign of Jesus that there's going to be a period in time when Jesus, for 1,000 years, is physically on the throne on earth in Jerusalem, and as a Jewish king over planet earth, he is going to require everyone, Jew and Gentile, to travel to Jerusalem to make the pilgrimage for the feasts that are required for people to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And it says that anyone who doesn't come will be put to death. And so there's coming a day where everyone will be brought under this umbrella where they will be required to celebrate those feasts and things like that. But until that happens, we understand from the book of Acts that Gentiles are not under that burden to do those things. Now, you have the free will to celebrate those things if you want. And I have Gentile Christian friends who do that, that they, out of their own free will, they celebrate the feasts of Israel, which is a perfectly fine thing to do, but there's no biblical compulsion to do that. I want to address one thing. I realized in our discussion yesterday, I hope I didn't sound condescending. I encourage you and people to go and maybe participate in a Purim celebration, but not to get like preachy or go trying to witness to Jews at Purim. And I don't want that to sound condescending, but I've known people to do those kinds of things in very unhelpful ways. And Jews they have a very long memory of how they've been treated. They are taught to remember how they've been treated by Protestants, by Catholics, by various people groups in the past, sometimes in the name of Christianity. I mean, there have been terrible things done to Jews in the name of Christianity, not Christian things, but in the name of Christianity. Terrible things have been done to them, and they are taught to remember those things. And so, it would be a bit like showing up to a wedding and announcing to the bride and groom that they're going to hell if they don't turn to Jesus. It's just not the appropriate place and time for that. Now, I don't know that that's necessarily a perfectly great way to preach the gospel at any time, but I'm not saying don't witness to Jews. We should witness to Jews. We should tell Jews about Jesus. We should tell Gentiles. We should tell everyone about Jesus. We should tell everyone we can about Jesus. I'm just saying, if you want to go to a Purim celebration, don't go as it, like your one opportunity to get a whole bunch of Jews saved, because it's not going to go well. It's just not going to go well. So that's all I was saying. I didn't mean to come across condescending if it sounded like that. I just want to encourage you to kind of cross those cultural boundaries and at those times be appropriate, but not that I'm saying don't share Jesus, just be appropriate at those times. Again, almost every one of you listening, I'm sure, is like, what on earth is he talking about? And there's probably a couple of you is like, oh yeah, I remember when, you know, Billy Bob did that thing and it was a mess. Yeah, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and I'm just saying, don't do that. Don't do that. But we do want to witness. We do want to tell everyone about Jesus, Jew and Gentile. No one is saved by their heritage. No one is saved. No one will spend eternity with Jesus. No one will spend eternity with God, you know, in heaven, on earth forever. No one will be in that eternal state in the presence of God unless they put their faith in Jesus, unless they pledge their allegiance to Jesus. To Jesus. No one spends eternity with God unless they pledge their allegiance to Jesus. And so, yes, we must preach Jesus to Jews, as Paul did. We must preach Jesus to Gentiles, as Paul did. We must preach Jesus to everyone that we can. But again, kind of like the wedding analogy, there's appropriate times to do things. There's inappropriate times to do things in inappropriate ways. And we should steer clear of those. But outside of that, we should always have it on our mind to tell people about Jesus. So I just wanted to address that from yesterday. I don't think I said that in the best possible way. I wanted to address that. This feast commemorating, I think, this most amazing day, one of the most amazing days in Jewish history, I think that Gentile Christians would do well to gain a little bit better understanding of how Jews think about these kinds of things. Yes, I think it would benefit us in some ways. And so I hope to be able to go to one of those events. And maybe you've been to an event, a Purim event in the past. Maybe you've been invited. Maybe you've partaken in that. If you have, I would love to hear about what that was like for you. Hit me up in the comments or send an email. All of that contact information is in the show notes and description for this episode. I'd love to hear your experience if you've gotten to go to a Purim celebration in the past. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.